It is time now for the Chatham County Roundup here on 97.9 The Hill, our weekly look into what is happening just across the county line from where I stand. And joining me on the phone today is the sports editor for the Chatham News and Record, Victor Hensley. Victor, thanks so much for joining the program. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. How are you doing?
I am doing okay. It's a nice sunny Tuesday. We're going to have some baseball on the air later today, which is always exciting. It should be a good day for that. And that is a spring sport that it's great to see back and happening right now on all levels. And I imagine it is pretty busy on the local level down in Chatham, too, when it comes to high school sports, because there's a whole lot going on besides just baseball.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you were reading the weather just a second ago, I was like, I don't want to be that sports guy, but, I mean, that's just perfect baseball weather. I mean, sunny, 80 degrees. It's a little hot, but overall, it's perfect baseball weather. And, yeah, this weekend or this week, there's, I believe it's eight different sports are going on right now this week in Chatham County. It's a packed week. That's kind of just how things have been all semester long. So I know there's a tennis, soccer, baseball, softball, track and field, wrestling's about to start up. All this stuff is going on right now. So it's definitely jam-packed here in Chatham County.
It is that kind of sweet spot where a lot of those programs are still kind of playing together. But I imagine that some of this is still being affected from the COVID-19 pandemic and the prevention of sports from happening as much in the fall season, right? We know that that football season is now just largely wrapped up, but that was just happening a week ago, just a few weeks ago, and that's very abnormal.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it was really weird going to football games and not being cold like you would normally be in, you know, October, November. But yeah, the Northwood Chargers actually just lost in the second round of the 2A playoffs, or the 3A playoffs, last week. But, I mean, that's still going on technically. I think there's a couple more rounds of that. So, I mean, I guess technically there's non-sports going on right now. But yeah, I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, there was only three sports played, or at least three sports that started before 2021. So I believe there's around like 15 that have, you know, started and are still being played here in 2021. Which is very, very abnormal from the normal, like, seven or eight that are normally in the spring. So I know a lot of multi-sport athletes are kind of just going from one sport to the next, like, immediately, which has been kind of interesting to see. But, I mean, yeah, it's when you're, you know, like me, covering the entire county and covering all these different sports, it's definitely hard to get out to more than one at a time and try to cover all of these, you know, different sports that are going on, because there's so many and they're so different. There's so many teams, and it's just, I mean, it's really, really fun, but it's obviously a little overwhelming as well.
It's been a hot minute since we have checked in and talked about the effect of COVID-19 on high school sports. I know for many, it means playing in masks, especially for the indoor sports like basketball we saw over the winter. But are there any spring sports that have also been affected in some way in terms of their play or in terms of how rules work due to public safety guidelines?
Yeah, I mean, most of the things are about the same. You've got a lot of social distancing, a lot of things like that. I know, for example, like with football, they were having to wear masks. I think they were even having to wear them while they were playing, which is a little bit tough when you're playing such a fast-paced sport like football. I'm trying to wear masks, but I know in some sports, like tennis, for example, I think they can take off their masks when they're playing singles matches. But when they're playing doubles, they have to keep their masks on, things like that. But overall, like the capacity is still limited in stands. Like, for example, Northwood, I think their capacity at their football stadium is about 30%. So to have a playoff game, or have two playoff games actually, and only have 30% capacity was probably a little rough for the players to not have like all of their friends and family there on a run like they had. But overall, I mean, the play I don't think has been that affected, aside from, and this is something that still kind of, you know, it's unfortunate, but tennis and wrestling actually both have their team competitions this playoffs are going to be canceled. They had that canceled, I think, last year. But they are now only going to move forward with individual and doubles competitions for tennis, for example. That kind of hinders teams like Chatham Central, who is actually having a really, really good men's tennis year. They're best in school history. They're undefeated. But as a team, they actually won't be able to compete. So I mean, it's stuff like that that's kind of unfortunate that the pandemic is still kind of looming over. But overall, like the individual play and kind of the sport that you're watching on the field, the product is still about the same.
We're speaking with Victor Hensley, who is the sports editor over at the Chatham News and Record, chathamnewsrecord.com, the website to go to. And Victor, you recently wrote a story about how COVID-19 and the pandemic is affecting it in other ways, not necessarily the on-field play and seeing anything different there, but how athletes are eligible academically. We know that remote learning was not easy for many students across our community, across the country. And that affects student athletes and whether they are eligible to play during these spring seasons and the fall season, too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I think that's a topic that's kind of overlooked. Some of these sports teams are actually doing much more poorly than they have in the past because they just don't have the players to compete. So one of the things we focused on in that story, and I actually had help from Hannah McClellan and Victoria Johnson reporting on that story with me, which they were fantastic there. But in that story, two of the teams that we really looked at was two football teams, was Chatham Central and Jordan Matthews football teams. And Jordan Matthews specifically was kind of a really bad case because they actually had 33 players that were deemed ineligible this season. So I think that going into the season, they had 59. So they had 33 ineligible. So they only had 26 on the roster when football actually rolled around. And by the end, I think it was by their final game, they only had 17 players that were eligible to play when it comes to, like, injuries and stuff like that, too. So, I mean, when you're trying to field and play football games with 17 players, that's rough. And, you know, academic eligibility has just kind of, you know, really hit those schools harder. A lot of schools where maybe at home kids don't have great internet connection, they might not have great at-home work environments, things like that. It was really hard for them to focus on remote learning or have access to remote learning and things like that. So their grades obviously tanked with everything else going on in the world that kind of made it hard to focus, you know, 8 hours a day on your computer screen. So we really saw a lot of kids just simply not being able to compete once they got back to school. And I mean, that kind of hurt the on-field progress a little bit, which hopefully it seems to be the case that you know, that'll get better next semester. But this semester has been pretty affected by that.
Absolutely. It's an aspect I think not a whole lot of folks think about when it comes to schools and the issues we've been hearing about schools. And I think it's also important to note, too, that with the lack of sports during kind of the full 2020 year from when remote learning began to where we are now moving back into plan A's and B's and such like that, you know, students didn't necessarily have that sports season to drive them and to use as a motivator, because for a lot of high school students at that age, sometimes that is the motivation to do well at schoolwork, to make sure your grades are doing okay beyond just, you know, a separate drive to have good grades in the first place. If you take away that motivation of being able to go out on the field and compete with teammates and peers, I mean, I imagine that also kind of turns into a feedback cycle of, well, you aren't as motivated for your classwork, but then that makes you ineligible for this season.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, there have actually been, you know, coaches who have talked to me and said, yeah, now that they've been deemed ineligible, like, we're 100% on top of them right now to be like, hey, you need to get your work done this semester, especially because you won't be eligible for, you know, the football season, you know, that starts in August. So a lot of coaches are like calling their students daily if they don't get to see them every day, stuff like that, and like saying, hey, you got to get your work in because we want to see you on the field and we want to see you succeed both in the classroom and on the field. So you have to, you know, get this part done to be able to, you know, hang out with your friends and compete, you know, with your teammates. So I think you're seeing a lot of coaches kind of step up, which is great to see, and try to kind of, you know, keep their kids on top of it and keep them motivated.
Once again, we're speaking with Victor Hensley, the sports editor over at the Chatham News and Record, chathamnewsrecord.com, their website. And Victor, we've got to begin wrapping up, but along the lines of high school football, you did just share a story with us last week about a football player who is really going through a tough time, but who the community is working to try and help by stepping up with a GoFundMe, right?
Yes, yes. Troy Ennis, who is a sophomore Northwood football player, he actually was diagnosed on April 9th with Ewing sarcoma, which I know I had actually never heard of what that was until I started researching for the story. and heard about Troy's story. But it's an extremely rare type of cancer that affects the bones and like the surrounding areas around the bones. And I believe only 225 kids every year are diagnosed in America with Ewing sarcoma. So it's definitely a rare case of cancer. And he's been dealing with that since April 9th. And it started kind of as he was at practice, and he kept getting ankle injuries, and he kept trying to come back to the field and kept getting hurt. And it was kind of this cycle that he couldn't really break. And eventually the pain just got so bad, he went to the doctor, and they did an x-ray and figured out it was Ewing sarcoma. So that was kind of a shock for his family. So his sister actually set up a GoFundMe because their dad had actually dealt with this same issue. He actually had a heart attack. So it wasn't the same issue, but dealt with a serious medical emergency back when they were in middle school. And he's actually okay now, but she was able to, you know, kind of learn from that experience and be like, you know what, this time we were kind of swamped with medical bills then. So let's start a GoFundMe, see what we can do for Troy. And she had not expected to blow up the way it did. And the Northwood community kind of rallied around him. And the GoFundMe, as of today, earlier today, it was at $65,000 of their $100,000 goal. So that's kind of, you know, really awesome to see. It's a very unfortunate situation for Troy to be in. But, you know, all of his teammates were rallying around him. They were all wearing number 22 stickers during their playoff games to support him. And he was actually at the second playoff game last week. So that was really cool to see. And I know if anybody wants to, you know, help him and donate to his cause, you can go to his GoFundMe. I think we've tweeted it a couple of times on our Twitter account, Chatham NNR Sports. If you want to donate or follow along with that journey, then you most definitely can.
Absolutely. And to learn more about the story and check out Victor's reporting on it, head to ChathamNewsRecord.com. Once again, sports editor Victor Hensley, I appreciate you stopping by. We'll talk with you guys again soon.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Brighton.